The reading this morning is taken from Psalm 55, verses 16 to 23. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you. This is the word of the Lord.
And so may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We listen to some words from Psalm 55. Many people think this is a psalm actually written by David at a time when he felt surrounded by his enemies and a time when he felt he'd been betrayed by his closest friends. And yet, even in the midst of such troubles, he could still say these words: "As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress." We're continuing, as you know, our Lenten series on prayer. Last week we were looking at what it means to be immersed in prayer. And today the focus is on having a rhythm to our prayer life, or having a rule for the way that we pray. David said he prayed evening, morning, and noon, three times a day. Whether he continued that throughout his life, or whether that was just during his time of real trial, we don't know. But the concept of a rule of life, prayer as a rule of life, is just what I'd like us to focus on for our few minutes right now. The idea comes out of the religious orders tradition, and many of those orders have specific guidelines as to how their members of the community should pray. So the challenge is, should we as Christians in our individual lives have a rhythm of prayer, a rule of prayer? It would be based on the gifts we have, based on our life situation, and also the calling that we feel upon our lives from God. And I guess it's a rule that would change as our life progresses and changes too. In Romans, Paul writes these words. It's a translation from the Message. "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around, and place it before God as an offering." Take our everyday life, and whatever that everyday life is for each one of us, place it before God as an offering, and commit that life to him. In a little book called Monastic Mumblings, a monk writes these words. I thought they'd be quite helpful when we're thinking of this rhythm or rule of life. "A rule of life is simply a structure in which spiritual formation is facilitated. The Latin term is regular, from which we get our word regulation. I know most modern Christians don't like to think of rules constraining them, but each person's own rule regulates their life in a way they see that helps them grow. It should be something you yearn to do. It is a tool for growth, not a pair of steel shackles. Well, we don't have time this morning to think fully about this concept of a rule of life. But what about some sort of discipline when it comes to our prayers? Certainly the monk in those words was saying that to have a rule, it's not something that constrains us, restricts us, but it actually helps us to grow in our Christian faith. Now, when it comes to prayer, you may be one of those amazing prayer warriors who say, well, you know, why do you have to spend so much time about prayer? You just pray, and that's it. Pray, full stop. Well, for most of us, and very much myself included, that's not too helpful. It's like me going to a professional tennis player and saying, give me some tips to improve my tennis. And to be told, well, you just hit the ball. Well, I've tried tennis and it's not quite that simple. And I guess prayer for most of us isn't that simple. So I'm going to offer a few sort of guidelines, a few tips of prayer. They may be very familiar to you. You may think, well, you know, I know all these. But maybe for some of us, they might just help us in our daily rhythm of life and our rhythm of prayer. And if you're at all interested, then they do appear on a little handout, and there'll be some at the door as you leave, should you wish to think them through more carefully. Thank you. So here's tip number one. Choose a specific place to pray away from distractions. Now, for some of us, that may not be very easy, particularly if we've got young children around. Finding space in a day might not be easy. But I think it's important that we do find our prayer space. Whether that may be, it doesn't matter. But a space where we can just be alone in ourselves, but with God. And if you do have that thing called a mobile phone, you really don't have to have it next to you as you pray. So it won't be God ringing you up. It might be, who knows? But it won't be as important as praying with God. So find a place in your home, outside, wherever, that you can be alone with God. And then try to have that rhythm of praying at the same time every day. If you make it part of your regular routine, then it becomes a good habit. Some of you may have a daily schedule of what you do each day. Well, if you do, put in your schedule time with God, and that will become a habit, a good habit. Find a place. Pray at the same time. Pray out loud. Now, I guess that depends where you are. In certain places at certain times, praying out aloud might not be the right thing to do, and it might get you some strange reactions. But if we just sort of focus our prayers inwardly, and speaking of myself, I can so easily almost forget what I'm doing. I get distracted. If we speak out words, then hopefully we form intelligent sentences. I said that with some trepidation because maybe my sentences don't always make a lot of sense. But if we speak out our prayers, then we do have to, you know, really focus and think about what we're saying, concentrating. Keep a notepad handy. As we pray, really focus on God, we'll get those unexpected thoughts, those God thoughts. I think for most of us, that's the way God is going to speak to us. Because prayer, of course, is not just talking to God, it's a dialogue. and we should be spending time sort of listening. I guess for most of us, we're quite good at talking to God when we intercede. But listening is just as important. And make a note of those God thoughts. They could change our lives. Make a list. Don't know if you're a list person. We've just started in the home group I'm in of having a weekly prayer journal, and we're making a note of the things that we're praying for. And I'm sure that as the weeks go by, we can look back and we can say the way God has answered our prayers, that we can be thankful. Now, I know the cynics will say, well, prayer, you know, it's a waste of time, and if things happen, that's just a coincidence. They would have happened anyhow. All I know is that when I pray, coincidences happen. And I think God is very much at work there. So keep that note. And when we look back, we see the way God answers our prayers. It's a great encouragement to us. Redeem the time for praying out of unexpected moments. If you're stuck in traffic, do we get angry with whatever's around us? Or do we say, well, I can just have a word with God at this moment? We don't have to close our eyes and get on our knees. I wouldn't recommend that. But you redeem that time. Maybe as do housework, preparing meals, out walking. There can be times, unexpected moments, when we can just focus on God in prayer. And then we don't have to pray at the same pace all the time. And people sometimes talk about the acts of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. The adoration comes first, then we own up, then we thank, and at the end, if we have time, we ask God for things. Pray with others. I think probably some of my best times of prayer many years ago now was when a number of men, we met, I think it was once a month, one evening, and we committed to meet together to pray. And because I'd committed to it, I would be there, if at all possible. Whereas if I'd just been on my own, then other distractions could have come along. So if you can find people to pray with, I would recommend that very highly. Keep your prayers simple. They don't have to be long, complex sentences. They don't have to be the sort of colics that our church produces, wonderful words, but just, it's talking with God, listening as we are doing right now. And then the 10th and final tip, if you're into social media, lots of lovely prayer apps that you can use, again, just to guide and assist us on our way. So I don't know if they're helpful, so if they are, do take the handout afterwards. But just some very practical ways. I wanted to be sort of very earthed into prayer this morning. But of course, it's not just about asking. It's putting ourselves in the hands of God. It's listening to his voice in the depths of our hearts. And I think as we get that rhythm to our life, then God will speak to us and through us. A few years ago, Joshua Bell, he's one of the world's leading violinists, he's played at most of the great concert halls throughout the world. He took his Stradivarius violin to a metro station in Washington, USA. And for 45 minutes, he just busked at the station. He was wearing jeans, a long-sleeved T-shirt, and a baseball cap. And it was the time of the rush hour. And in that 45 minutes, 1,097 people passed by. Only seven stopped for a minute or more to listen to him. One of the world's greatest violinists. Of course, people were busy. They were going to work. They were going from work. They had things to do. but they missed out on listening to this great violinist. And I wonder if we can be like that sometimes in our lives. We're so busy doing one thing and another, dashing around. We don't make space for God. We miss out on so much. It was just over 400 years ago now that Ignatius Loyola came up with what he called the daily examen. And he believed God had given him this as a gift. And he set up the Jesuit order, and he said that as Jesuits, you need to practice this examen twice a day, at noon and towards the end of the day. And many, well, that's still part of the Jesuit tradition today, and many other Christians follow that pattern too. And so as a challenge to myself and to each one of us, at the end of the day, and again, I've just written out a summary if you're interested. The concept is that we spend a few minutes at the end of the day reflecting on the past day. Some people said it's like sitting on a sofa with Jesus next to you, and you're looking at the video of your day. And you're just going to stop at certain moments and just reflect on what you've done and what you've said. Begin with a time of thanksgiving. How has God blessed you in the past day? How has God been with you? It can be very simple. We saw, Sue and I, out of our window, just a beautiful rainbow which seemed to just cover the estate on which we live. Beautiful coloured rainbow. Might be the smell of freshly roasted coffee. It might be a kind word spoken by a friend or a colleague. Just simple things to be thankful for in our world. And then as you go through the day, just say to God, will you just pick out those moments, those experiences that you want me to reflect on? How did you feel? Maybe joy, maybe anger, maybe puzzlement. Why have those particular moments come to mind? What is God saying to you? And then we respond, almost certainly with confession, because there have been things that have come to our mind that we rather wish we hadn't said, done, or thought. Maybe thanksgiving. Maybe a commitment to change, to do something different. And then at the end of this examen, look forward to the next day. What do you need from God tomorrow? How might God be challenging you to act differently? We offer our life and service into God's hands. Might be good to end with the Lord's Prayer. And many who follow that process, that rhythm, that rule of prayer, many say it has made an amazing difference to their Christian lives, to the way that they live and the way that they can relate to God, that God really does draw closer to them. So that's our challenge for today. Consider having a rhythm or a rule of prayer in your life. It will differ, of course, from each and every one of us. But the focus on it all is that we may see Jesus more clearly, that we may love him more dearly, and that we may follow him more nearly, day by day.